Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 37, New International Version. The context of this is following the crucifixion. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you will know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that he is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The day and hour unknown. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each one with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch.
I've told you a few stories from my chaplain days at Children's Hospital, but I haven't told you yet about my very favorite clinical assignment. I spent 3 months at the main hospital at Emory, 6 months at the Children's Hospital, and then a year and a half at Wesley Woods, a senior community that had various levels of care. The bulk of my assignment at Wesley Woods was two floors that provided care for people with dementia. They were great units. They had big common rooms with lots of space for people to wander around and come and go. I had recently graduated from seminary and was trying to live into and figure out my identity as a pastor and as a chaplain. And unlike Children's Hospital, where patients mostly came and went, staying for short periods of time, this new assignment was one where I could build relationships. This was an assignment where I, for the first time, could be a pastor. I had units. I had people. This was, in essence, my first congregation. And I was so excited and very, very nervous. I started at Wesley Woods at the beginning of Advent, about this time of year, and one of the duties I inherited with my new position was to offer a weekly devotional in the common area. The activities therapist would strum out a few old hymns on the auto harp, Amazing Grace, The Old Rugged Cross, and people would sing along or not, and then I'd offer a brief devotional. And if you've spent time in a facility that provides care for people with dementia, you know there's a bit of unpredictability about what goes on there. The fact that someone's in front of the room speaking doesn't curtail the regular goings-on much at all. People often get up and move around. People sit down, sometimes in unusual places. People talk to each other, reach out and touch each other. People pick things up and take them, believing they're their belongings. people speak out, speak up, all kinds of interesting activity. So I was preparing my first devotional for my people, my new people, and it just so happened to fall, as I mentioned, at the beginning of Advent. So I decided it would be fun and meaningful to bring Advent candles with me. I got 4 battery-operated candles and figured we'd light one each week until Christmas. I prepared and planned and brought my candles and my Bible with me to that first devotional in the common area. I held one candle while I spoke and said something generally about Advent and being happy to be there. And as I was talking, I could see out of the corner of my eye someone picking up my other 3 candles and my Bible and walking away down the hallway. I wrapped up my devotional saying something like, "And I'm glad we can all take this Advent journey together." And everything seemed to come to a halt. It got quiet. No one said anything. The people who were moving about stopped moving about. And then sweet, dear Ruby, who was already starting to stand up from her seat on the couch, seemed compelled to fill in the silence. And she rather matter-of-factly said, "Well, we're glad to take you along." And that is how I came to understand early on that I wouldn't be the driver, the mover, and the shaker in that place. Rather, I was and would be a guest with much to learn, much to give, and much to receive in that extraordinary community. And I can say that Ruby was one of my great teachers about Advent because she reminded me that as much as I think I need to plan and prepare and do to make Advent happen, the truth is that Advent, in its truest sense, is something that happens outside of us, beyond us. It happens to us and for us. Advent means the coming of God, and that's something over which we have absolutely no control. I mentioned last week that we are moving into the Gospel of Mark in the new Christian year, and this morning's reading shared by Leanne reminds us of our lack of control related to God's coming. The language in this part of Mark may sound a lot like the apocalyptic language we've heard in Matthew over the last few weeks, and it is. This comes from a section of Mark's gospel known as the Little Apocalypse, and it probably seems like a really strange scripture passage with which to begin Advent. Some of us might be thinking, where's the baby? Or at least hints of the baby Jesus that is to come. And I promise we'll get there. But Advent always begins on this note, an apocalyptic note, giving us a glimpse of the end of the story from the beginning and reminding us of how people have always longed, how we continue to long for God's redeeming presence, for God's coming to be in the midst of us. And I have to wonder if we are longing for God's redeeming presence in different ways this year, as it's been such a strange and difficult year. I'm mindful that this year's Advent is unlike any other I can remember. The message of our scripture passage is to keep awake, to pay attention, because something remarkable is going to happen. And in most every other Advent season of my life, I think the challenge has actually been to slow down enough to pay attention. For most of us, the risk has probably been that we find ourselves too busy or too distracted to tune into the coming of God. This time of year is usually overflowing with activities and obligations, and sometimes I think we become hyper awake, almost frantic with all of the usual preparations for Christmas. But this year has been anything but usual. This year, we have in large part lived under the shadow of COVID-19. It has already forced us to slow down in so many ways, some that we may have come to appreciate and others that we just deeply resent. But that reality invites us to reflect on the question of what it means to keep awake, to pay attention during this COVID-colored Advent. You know, I've heard people talk about pregnancy brain, about feeling forgetful or foggy when they're pregnant. I know for certain there's a similar type of grief brain. Those who are grieving can feel forgetful and scattered and not themselves. And I tend to think that there's also such a thing as COVID brain. Maybe you've experienced that too. Slogging through month after month of this pandemic, I at times find myself in an emotional and spiritual swampland. My spirit gravitates towards sluggishness, and it's hard to focus on anything other than just getting through the day sometimes. So the admonition to keep awake, while it doesn't always seem that fitting in other years, the years when we seem overly stimulated, too awake, the admonition to keep awake actually seems remarkably suitable this year. We have slowed down. We've been forced to slow down. We may have even coped with all of the challenges of this year by spiritually falling asleep. And the message we hear this Advent, just like we hear every Advent, is wake up. Be alert. Watch. Pay attention. Because the Holy is afoot and God is coming. And God's coming is not in order to chastise, not to punish, not to disturb, not to destroy. Too many people have repurposed these apocalyptic readings to try to frighten us about God's approach to God's people. No, everything in Scripture points us to the fact that God comes past, present, and future because God is a God who responds to the longing and the cry of God's people. God comes to redeem, to bring peace and hope, love and joy. And it might be helpful at the beginning of this Advent season, this unusual Advent season, to reflect on the longings of our own hearts. What do we long for as individuals? What do we long for as a community? How are those longings unique in light of this past year? How might God respond to those longings this Advent season? During last week's coffee hours, someone mentioned that the scripture readings and sermons in the last couple of weeks have given us some big assignments, a lot of stuff to try to think about and do. The parable of the talents encouraged us not to hide our talents in the ground, but to take risks and use what we've been given. The story about the goats and the sheep made us mindful of being compassionate and merciful toward everyone we meet, knowing that when we look into the eyes of the least of these, we look into the eyes of Jesus. Well, this week, thankfully, is somewhat of a respite from any and all of that, because this passage doesn't invite us, encourage us, implore us to do much of anything at all, just to be awake, to be alert, to watch, to pay attention. Because God is the one who is doing all that needs to be done. God is the one who is coming to bring the redemption for which we long, the hope and peace and joy and love we so very much need. We don't do that. God does that. God is doing that. So just like Ruby taught me many moons ago that I wasn't going to be the driver, the mover, and the shaker of that Advent season, I am reminded once again, thankfully, that this Advent season isn't shaped or managed or controlled by me either. And just like Ruby graciously welcomed me along on the journey, God welcomes us as well. But really more than welcomes us. God makes a space for us. God invites us. God encourages us to watch, to wait, to stay alert, to pay attention, not because of what we will need to do, but because of what God is about to do, what God is always doing. God, I believe, hopes against hope that we'll lean in with anticipation, with hope toward God's advent, trusting, knowing that it can and will make all the difference in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us join our hearts and our spirits together in this time of prayer. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, you are the one who creates new beginnings again and again and again. You meet us in this new beginning of our Christian year and you turn our hearts, you direct our gaze, you tune our senses so that we might perceive all of the ways you come to us again and again. We are aware of the longings of our own lives and the longings of our community and our world. We are COVID weary and pray with tender hearts for those who are ill and for their loved ones. We pray for those for whom grief will be a constant companion this holiday season. Bring comfort and peace where hearts and spirits are lonely or troubled. We pray for our healthcare workers who are giving and sacrificing so much, even when their own wells have run dry. We pray for our local businesses and all those who are struggling financially. We pray for respite and renewal for those in need. We pray for treatments and vaccines that will help us to turn the corner and move out of this chapter of our history. Sustain us with your daily care and with shared signs of grace and peace and love among us and between us. We move into this season of Advent, O God, and we hold fast to hope. We trust that you come to us, that you are coming to us in ways that not only sustain, but that transform and redeem. If we are frantic with worries or duties or obligations, slow and settle us down that we might sense you. If we are lethargic in spirit, rouse us so that we might focus our attention and perceive you. Connect us to our own sense of longing for you and help us to watch, to wait, to trust in your advent that is always near. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.